Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into DC Sports Live. That's Alexa Shaw. I'm Nick Ashew. If you're watching in a bar right now, because it is a Friday, you're probably just reading the subtitles, but that's fine. You can totally do that too. Hopefully they'll spell Nick Ashew the right way. A-S-H-O-O-H. That's how the subtitles, they'll probably get it right. By the way, I know we saw it again in the Nats game.
You know the Grandpa Shark. You know the different types
now. So this
now.
Is the thing. The whole Baby Shark thing sweeping the Nationals, we know it's already been a thing for a while. I was told that this is not Baby Shark. This is like grown-up shark.
No, you got all different types. You got the grandpa with the no teeth.
I didn't know this.
Medium size.
Until literally last night when I got scolded on Twitter.
At the ballpark,
I'm sorry that I don't have children and I don't know baby shark from grandpa shark. Okay, grandpa shark. Fine. All right, forget it. I'm going to just not get into too much baby shark here. All right, before we get into 3-2-1 and any more baby shark conversation whatsoever, and Gary put something in my ear, here's a peek at some of the stories trending now over on NBCSportsWashington.com. We're going to be talking about Bradley Beal in a moment, but we've got a cheat sheet for you to break down all of the different contract options, plus 20 burning questions from the Caps. Believe it or not, the season's just 2 months away. Plus, RG3, I don't even remember that guy. He's grateful for his chance to get up the road and keep going with the Ravens. But we get into 3-2-1 here now. And first and foremost, JP Finley and Pete Haley in Richmond with a day two recap of what's been going on.
The number one question I get at training camp from fans is, what's going on with Trent? I don't know those answers. The number two question I get at training camp, what's going on at quarterback? I don't know those answers either, but at least we're getting to watch Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, and Dwayne Haskins. They're all out there competing, and I think there is a hierarchy forming. I think it started in minicamp, even when Colt wasn't going. I think right now, it'd be Keenum, McCoy, Haskins. Pete, I'm going to open it up to you because people want to know how Haskins looks, and at times he looks really good, but at other times he looks like a rookie.
It's before the snap he looks like a rookie, where, again, he had some more issues today just getting guys organized. You see half of the line go, half of the line not when he's giving the snap counts. And also after the snap, you're seeing a lot of tipped balls. It seems like the defenders are kind of excited to go against him because it's like their chance. Okay, we can pick on the rookie. Dunbar, Hamilton, these guys are tipping passes, intercepting passes. So we haven't seen as many of the wow moments as we saw in OTAs. It just seems like he's kind of struggling a bit here at the gates, which is normal. It's fine, but he does seem like the third, and there's a decent gap between the two veterans.
I talked with him today. He spoke at the podium, and there was a moment where Jay Gruden kind of pulled him aside after a particularly rough stretch of plays in 7-on-7 drills. And they talked, and then Haskins looked better than that. I said, you know, what was he saying? What are you trying to figure out? And a lot of it comes down to cadence, knowing the protections, and then being fast. I think he's almost thinking too much and needs to just play football. The guys that are playing football, Keenum and Colt, they look better. Not necessarily world beaters, but whatever the depth chart is going to be early on, you got to put the veterans ahead of the rookie.
I don't care how Dwayne Haskins looks in camp. It doesn't matter. I want nothing to do with him starting week one. I don't want Dwayne Haskins playing until, I'd say bare minimum after the bye week. Get through the Patriots, get through all those division games. And you got to think about this. Is he going to get enough time with the ones? He only started 1 year in college on top of that. Right now, we don't even know if Trent Williams is going to be out there. And I can tell you this, if Trent Williams is not out there protecting his blind side, Dwayne Haskins doesn't see the field at all this season until Trent Williams, bare minimum, is out there.
And I know number one position, I think the quarterback, but left tackle is the most important as well. And you need Trent Williams there. And that veteran, you need him there. But I'm okay, like you said, to have Haskins sit for a little bit, learn under Case Keenum, learn this system, get comfortable. And I think right now during training camp, it's just hard with this quarterback battle. I mean, we are literally breaking down every single pass and being like, is this an interception? Is this a pass? We're going to how is he going to look? Is he going to do, you know, and we got to let them breathe. It's training camp. This is their time to get their reps and see what it's like. But I'm okay with Haskins sitting. We've already seen Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith, and he's there on the sidelines for the year. And now look at Patrick Mahomes. So it works if you're behind him. And we'll see how it goes.
And the funny thing is, too, like with social media, you have this perception that you can create in either way. Like we saw that Daniel Jones pass to nobody, like a day ago in Giants camp. We know everybody in New York wants to see Daniel Jones fail just because they don't want to see Dave Gettleman be right. But like this is the narrative that you can create with social media where one or two plays can dictate everybody's opinion. And it doesn't even mean that it's right. Like you can see one or two passes from Dwayne Haskins and maybe he looks good. Maybe he looks terrible. But whatever that is, it then snowballs and creates this whole perception. The only thing that I just want Dwayne Haskins to be put in a position to succeed. Like, that's the most important thing. And people overlook the mental side of sports so much. And that's what drives me nuts. Like, we don't have to put Dwayne Haskins out there week one because it's not going to make a difference. They're not going to be closer to a Super Bowl, Dwayne Haskins starting week one. He needs time to grow. He needs time to get experience. And by the way, preseason football and training camp is not regular season NFL football. So he could look pretty good in the preseason. We've seen plenty of guys look pretty good in the preseason and then not be good NFL players. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be a good NFL player, but what I am saying is that, like, don't let that skew your entire judgment as opposed to giving him an opportunity to grow a little bit.
And what I find interesting with this whole conversation in training camp is I want to get into Dwayne Haskins' mind. I want to know, I feel like with all this media attention in the swirl, you have to think there's something going on in his mind, and I want to know what it is. Obviously, he comes in, he wants to make a splash, be known. But there's also, right, Nick, a learning curve when you enter the NFL, and it's just normal. It doesn't mean that you're not good enough. No, he is going to be good enough. It's just, when's the right time? And you got to find that.
Yeah, and look, fans are going to be impatient, and the organization's probably going to be impatient too. But this
I get it.
You got to think long term. You have to, because if you rush a guy out there too soon, you can break somebody's confidence. And he's only got 1 year of college starting experience, and that goes a long way too. There's a lot to it.
Because if you put him, you got to ride or die with him.
And that's the thing. You can't bench him, because at that point, if he goes out there and looks terrible, you bench him, then his confidence is shot, and I don't want to see that. All right, moving on to number two, a guy that has plenty of confidence, but also we're not quite sure what his future necessarily is with the Wizards. Bradley Beal was offered 3 years, $111 million extension by the Wizards. This isn't a surprise. Everybody knew this was going to happen, Alexa. But the thing is he's got until October 21st to decide whether he wants to take it. And if I'm Bradley Beal, let me tell you, there is a lot more money waiting for you down the road if you're patient, just like the Redskins should be with Dwayne Haskins. He's not going to accept this, and I wouldn't. It's a business decision. That's all you have to think about.
And I love that the Wizards offered him on the first day that they could, but I also think if he turns it down, it doesn't mean he's not going to be here in Washington or he doesn't want to be here. It just means he's betting on himself in the long term. He's looking at if he makes all NBA, he can get that Supermax deal. But again, I could see how you could be frustrated by him not taking it. You want him here in Washington. You want him to say, you know what, I'm locking up 3-year extension, but you know, they got to do their thing and go for the money. And it's sometimes it's a personal thing, too. It's a business, and you got to do your thing as well.
People have to understand that there are going to be other representatives of Bradley Beal that are in his corner that are showing him a long list of the amount of money that he can make. And when you look at this, 3 years and $111 million or 4 years and $154 million if he just waits till next offseason. I'm going to do some math here. $43 million is a lot of money and an extra year of guaranteed money. I'm taking that. Plus, if Bradley Beal is an All-NBA player this year, which is a possibility because John Wall's out, so he's going to have to carry the whole load for him again, 5 years and $254 million. I'm going to do some more math, quick math here again. That's a lot more money. So, yes, there's no reason for him to sign this because it's strictly about business. It's nothing against the Wizards, nothing against the fan base. But if you're the Wizards too, Alexa, you got to think, what if he doesn't even want to come back in 2 years? Do you want to run that risk? And that's what I worry about.
And that's what you said. You don't want like an Anthony Davis where in the middle of the season he's just wanting out and your whole team is a disaster. So I think there is, like you said, you got to, I think, take care of it now, figure it out, and then hopefully not have it blow up in the middle of the season as a distraction for your team.
And look, if halfway through this year this team is struggling and he's like, I'm in the middle of a team that's rebuilding and I'm in my prime and I'm playing 40 minutes a night and we're not going anywhere right now, I'm not helping this team, there's going to be a frustration there. It's a human element. And look, Wizards fans get mad at me all the time for saying this, but I'll keep saying it. If Bradley Beal doesn't want to take this extension, you consider trading him. You actually physically sit down, you pick up your phone, and you go, All right, what's your offer with Bradley Beal right now? What you got for me? Miami? What do you have? Boston. Look, Boston's got a ton of assets. You got to consider that, because if you can get multiple draft picks in return, we saw what the Thunder got for Paul George. We saw what you even Miami gave up to get Jimmy Butler. There's don't even get started on the Anthony Davis situation and what they got in return. You have to think long term. Just because Bradley Beal is a great player, and he is, and he's somebody you want to build around, you don't know what his mindset is. And as an organization, you don't necessarily want to take that risk. And then 2 years down the road, you're looking around going, well, now Brad's gone and we got nothing in return.
Or in the middle of the season, if he wants out, his trade value goes down.
Yes.
So
right now his trade value is the highest. And that's the thing. 2 years left on his contract. A team that's going to trade for him is going to be willing to give up more, especially now. You might wait till maybe even December, when December 15th guys that were signed this offseason have the ability to be traded at that point. So some teams may wait. But, like, you got to think about that. When the stock is high, you have to think long term. And it's, look, I get it. It's hard. Fans are impatient. Organizations are impatient. People want to win. But that being said, you still kind of put yourself where you say, we got to think a little long term of this. All right, let's move on to number one. And it is almost college football season. And that is a beautiful,
gotta love it,
beautiful thing, especially if you're, well, a gambler and you have this guy right here as somebody that you think, I think this team could win another. And by the way, everybody talks about the NBA. Right now, college football, we know who the two favorites are right now. All right, and joining us now are gambling expert Sam Penjanovic. And listen, we are a month out from college football. It's like, I just want to say giggity giggity like a bunch of times, because we're finally going to get some real football on NFL and college. Let's focus on college now, because for the first time in it feels like 100 years, Alabama's not favored to win the national title. But let's be honest with ourselves, it's Alabama and Clemson. Everybody knows they're still considered the two favorites. But if you were to look at them and then, of course, sleepers, where would you go in terms of sleepers?
Well, let's start with your first point, Nick, and you nailed it. For the first time, and it feels like forever, Alabama is not the favorite to win the national championship, but they're right behind Clemson. So Clemson right now is plus 225 to win the national championship at the Westgate. So $100 makes you 225, and then it's Alabama plus 250. I think Georgia, it's crazy to call Georgia a sleeper at 6-1, but that would be the first team I'd put my money on. $100 on Georgia makes you about 600 right now. They're on the 3 line. I know that's not really a sleeper, so I'll go a little bit deeper with the sleeper. How about the Texas Longhorns at 25-1? I was on VEASAN all last year pumping their tires. I think Tom Herman is the man. And with Sam Ehlinger coming back at quarterback, they have the weapons down the field at receiver. They have a mean defense up front. At 25-1, the Texas Longhorns make a whole lot of sense to me. And we all know this. Tom Herman, he wins big football games.
That's right, he does. And I know you mentioned Sam Ehlinger. You remember he said Texas is back at the end of that Sugar Bowl. So that's been the theme of this offseason. And so it's clearly they are back. Now, I know you have some win totals for some teams. So break it down for us. What are your win totals for this season?
Well, Alexa, welcome to the party, by the way. We get weird here. We talk gambling on a Friday. But I think you have to look at teams that did that really underperformed last year. And I have two teams that I think really just missed the mark by a whole lot. UCLA is one of those football teams. And Chip Kelly, in year number one, they only won 3 games. They played a whole lot of freshmen, but you finally saw some speed in Westwood, and they played a lot of freshmen and sophomores on defense. They had a lot of inability and a lot of youth on offense. I think this team is probably going to win about 7 or 8 football games this year. They have the talent at UCLA, and they're going to get better over the course of a season. So UCLA, I went over UCLA at 6.5. And Alexa, here's a team in the Big 12 you might be familiar with, and a quarterback you might be familiar with, the Baylor Bears with Charlie Brewer at quarterback. I think Charlie Brewer is going to put up big numbers. I know you wanted me to say TCU, sorry.
I was about to say, I'm going to put up the Frogs. I'm like, I can't speak too soon, and you give me the Baylor Bears. I mean, come on.
Baylor, well, Gary Patterson is good for 8-9 wins every single year, and the number for TCU is 8 or 8.5. So I don't think there's any value in going over 8.5 when I think they're an 8 or a 9 win team. But Baylor's number right now is 7 or 7.5. I would not be stunned if the Bears won 8 or 9 games. I'm a big fan of that head coach. He's won everywhere he's been. And Charlie Brewer is a quarterback in the Big 12. We talk about all the big names in that conference. Charlie Brewer will put up numbers that might replicate any other quarterback in the Big 12 conference. That guy can flat out fling it.
So I know in the first question Nick asked you, and we were talking about Alabama and Clemson, of course, the two favorites who have alternated as national champions the past 4 years. So there's an interesting bet in Vegas. You can either take Clemson or Alabama or the field. So what do you got on that bet?
Ooh, see, it's a good bet if you take the field. I don't. I look. I want every other team. I'm not going to lay. Here's the other thing. It's about the juice. What do you do with the juice? Because if you want to take Alabama and Clemson, you have to risk 190 to win 100. You have to risk 380 to win 200. You have to risk 1900 to win 1000. I don't like the return on the investment there, just given the price. So I get every other team in the country at plus 160, 100 wins 160, 1,000 wins 1,600. What happens if Tua Tagovailoa's ankle falls apart like it did last year, or Trevor Lawrence gets a concussion? I'm not wishing those on anybody, but if those two players go down, those teams are not winning the national championship. I would take the field just given the price of plus 160. I'm not laying minus 190 on two teams when I can have plus 160 on everybody else.
And two of those names you mentioned, of course, Heisman favorites. Next time we have you on, we're going to get into those Heisman favorites. Sammy, always good talking to you, man.
You guys too. Take care.
Welcome back to DC Sports Live. Davey Siegel here, your NASCAR expert, aficionado, what have you. Listen, another weekend, another nail-biting finish. And this one comes at New Hampshire Motor Speedway between Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin. Denny's a Redskins fan, by the way. And he moves Kevin in turn one on the final lap. Now, he did have newer tires, so he had the advantage in that aspect. But Harvick was able to hold the lead down the backstretch. Coming off of turn four, Denny tries to get up under Kevin, but he shuts the door. Kevin wins for the first time in 2019 and fourth at New Hampshire. He's now tied for the most wins there all time. And look, it took Stewart Haas Racing a while to get to victory lane, though. Heck, Harvick had six wins at this point last season. It's been all about Team Penske and Joe Gibbs Racing in 2019. And as the playoffs approach, let's take a look at the leaderboard. I'm impressed with Ryan Newman. He's who I'm looking at. He overcame a multitude of issues to finish seventh on Sunday somehow, and now has about a 20-point cushion above the cutoff. Clint Boyer had another mediocre day. He finished in 20th, and he currently holds the final transfer spot. But look at JJ, seven-time champ in danger of missing the playoffs, as is SHR's Daniel Suarez, with a handful of races to go until the playoffs begin in Las Vegas. Pocono Raceway is going to host the circuit for the second time this season. Kyle Busch dominated earlier this year and won this race last season. And by the way, guys, it's a tricky triangle, not a usual oval, so instead of asking you who's going to win this weekend, I'll ask, did you know that NASCAR had a triangular racetrack? What'd you think?
Sunday on NBC Sports Network, and that's the only expert advice on triangle tracks that I can possibly give you right now. And coming up tomorrow in Annapolis, we got the 2019 Major League Lacrosse All-Star Game, and we're joined by two All-Stars right here, Isaiah Davis Allen and Rob Pinella. Guys, so we're leading up to this All-Star game now. I mean, they're obviously supposed to be fun. What's just the general mood around this whole thing? You're kind of getting in. Guys are coming in from all over the country. What's the feeling like right now heading into it?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with All-Star games is the opportunity to play with new guys and guys that you play against all season long, and you have a fun time competing against them. But now you come together for a fun weekend. Not really so much, you want to be competitive, but it's really to celebrate each other's success and to enjoy each other's company and to, you know, get to play with some guys, like I said, that you haven't played before. So it's an exciting weekend. I think for us veterans, it's particularly exciting for us to see some of the younger guys enjoy their first or second All-Star weekend and get out there and have some fun.
Now, Isaiah, you said it's a tight-knit community, this lacrosse family. And yeah, Rob, like you mentioned, this is a fun time. So it's not all business. This is fun for you guys to all come together?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's fun. I mean, for me personally, just being like a hometown guy, just being able to play like in the state of Maryland, like being a College Park guy, like played at the University of Maryland, it's fun to finally, you know, be back home, like play a big game back at home in front of a lot of friends and family.
You mentioned that. I mean, you're obviously a local guy. You play local. You're going to have this game local.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of people hitting you up for tickets? Is there going to be a big group there? Does that even, like, add a little juice to the game where you're like, man, there's going to be a lot? Because I remember, look, even as a kid, you know, you got, like, a big group coming to watch whatever the game is. You're like, all right, I got to play a little bit harder. Does that add anything to it for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've, you know, like, both my aunts are coming, my sister's coming, like, a lot of family's coming. So, you know, I'm going to try to score a few goals and then see how it goes.
Now, you guys, and Isaiah, you told me you have a job outside of that 9-to-5 job outside of lacrosse. Rob, you're a little different with making your that job around the sport. But how is it juggling for you, Isaiah, having that job plus playing lacrosse?
For me, it's not that difficult. You know, work is obviously important, but, you know, like, I love playing. Like, I love balling. I love being out there with, you know, a good, like, group of guys. So, like, for me, it's not too bad.
It's all about the guys. And Rob, you made a career out of lacrosse. So what do you do around the game?
I do everything from, you know, playing to camps and clinics and try and help the future of our sport and help grow the game. And then, you know, have my endorsements as well. But I admire the guys who have full 9-to-5 jobs and then find it in them to be in great shape, be in playing shape, and to then give their weekends up after working all week to travel and playing games. So to me, those are the real guys in our sport that are, you know, really making a difference and making the commitment to be at the games and to really grow the sport at the professional level.
And I feel like that makes this league different. You know, the NFL, you see the NBA, that's solely their job. So hats off to you guys. And I think hopefully one day you'll get lacrosse to that point where you guys are just playing that full time. Is that the hope where you want it to go?
Yeah, I mean, like Rob's doing it, but I would love to play full time. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What's it like just watching the growth? Because, look, the game has certainly grown over the years. I mean, nationwide. I mean, it's not necessarily offered at every school, but, like, lacrosse is a pretty big sport now. So just over the years, have you guys seen a lot of the growth in terms of the sport in general?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you see it at every level. I think from when we grew up playing, you know, I'm 29, so when I grew up playing in summer tournaments, the options were certainly less than they are now, to where every kid's playing on a travel team, some, you know, traveling each weekend to play in a tournament. You look at college across, there's over 70 Division I men's teams, over 100 Division I women's teams, which to me is one of the most exciting things in our sport, is the women's side of it, and to the professional level, where now, you know, the game is certainly at a very interesting point in the professional level, and it's very exciting.
Now, if I remember correctly, you guys are playing like 3 straight games against each other coming up, right?
Yeah.
So what is it? You got the All-Star game and then 2 back-to-back games with after the All-Star game, too?
Yeah. Absolutely.
How does that work? It's like, what, you're going to be traveling? How does that whole situation
work? We played each other last weekend, mm-hmm. and now we're on separate teams this weekend, so we're playing each other again. And then next weekend, we play down here at Annapolis
Saturday
at 7, and then back in New York at 5 o'clock. So
you guys shouldn't even be sitting next to each other. You should be just like...
I was going
to
say, this is the fun now. It's going to be business next
weekend. I feel like we should do some sort of like pre-fight weigh-in, and you guys just stare at each other with like real angry faces and do the whole like boxing fist.
Live here on the set.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming in. It's tomorrow, 7 o'clock in Annapolis, the Major League Lacrosse All-Star Game. It's at 7. Make sure you check that out. And now let's get into last call before anybody fights each other on the set here. And it is the season, Alexa, of entering training camp in really obnoxious, over-the-top ways. Antonio Brown has literally flown over everyone with this one because he entered in a hot air balloon. Let's also remember that Hard Knocks is covering the Raiders, so there's also that.
I cannot wait to tune in for that. And I think up there on the hot air balloon, he's saying, hello, Raider Nation. AB is here, and I'm ready to make a splash. Do you see his off-season workout videos juggling the brick?
I mean, listen, you're not working out in the offseason unless you post it on Instagram, right?
I mean, like, that's the thing. Rule. It's a whole social media world. Jalen Ramsey showed up to training camp in, what is that, the money bags?
The armored car.
In the armored
truck,
car.
Whatever you,
I mean, please.
Now, in his defense, they were filming a commercial for this, too, so he killed 2 birds with 1 stone.
Okay.
He got paid, and he also let the team know that he wants to get paid since his contract's going to be up.
I don't know. I mean, I like it, but it's also a little bit out there where I'm like, okay, maybe showing up to training camp in that, but they love the attention. I think that they breed off of that, huh?
See, the difference is that I'd be one of the guys, I'd just try to top all of them. I would do the Aladdin entrance. Like, I would do the Prince Ali. I'd ride in on an elephant and have a bunch of, like, people throwing fire in the air and do a big thing like that. I'd prefer to top all them, but that's just because I just would want to be obnoxious about it.
I know. I'm more play it cool, drop the mic, and then I show them all
right.
What's up.
And that's good. And you drop the mic there because you're a lot more mature than me. And an adult, on the other hand, I would prefer to be obnoxious. She's Alexa Shaw. I'm Nick Cashew. It's DC Sports Live.
See ya.
This has been the DC Sports Live podcast brought to you by Marlowe Furniture, Washington's home team since 1955.